it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Men's Room now live for your viewing pleasure. Check us out on YouTube at KISW Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Good times. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. Also, do us a favor. If you like this fine program, give us the old thumbs up.
Yeah, baby.
That smash or like burger.
Smash that like button. Don't forget to subscribe.
That's right. Yeah. Our question, what did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, I've done a lot in my life, caught and not caught. But one of the things I'm more proud of is when I was a young man, I was a lift operator for a couple years, and I got away with having sexual relations in the lift shack while working.
While working.
Now, what does that job? What does that job entail?
Well, there was different. We had different lifts. We had two chair lifts, and then what was called a surface lift. And I was working the surface lift that particular night. It was night skiing as well.
Right. Oh, how many employees are in this place at the time you're getting away with this?
Just me and my participant.
Oh, okay.
Was this at a local establishment that maybe we know? Mm-hmm.
It was in Southeast. No, not here in Washington, no.
Okay. Ah, okay. All now, right. I'm assuming this was a coworker of yours, or did you call her in?
No, she was a coworker. It was a one-man station. I was working it by myself. She just showed up. I think she had gotten off work at her station, was on lunch break, dinner break, whatever you want to call it, and she just came over to the lift shack.
And then how does that happen? I have plenty of female coworkers who might be on break, but they haven't just said, hey, Thrill, man, I got 10 minutes. You want to have sex?
Why does my coffee taste funny?
She had some kind of crush on me, and it was all her idea. I had no idea. I was surprised as heck.
I mean, I would think, too, it's night skiing, so most of those people know what they're doing. You don't need to keep an eye on them. They're fine.
And how many?
Mostly kids, actually, because it was a surface lift, so it was the bunny hill.
Oh, so then you're a bad employee.
Yeah, the kids, they're fine.
They're not going to get hurt on the green slope.
A pile up for sure.
How many times did you have sex with this chick while you're working?
Actually, it happened twice because it happened at a topless station as well, which wasn't as involved because you just sat there and watched people get off the chairlift.
Now, were you, you're trying to be discreet, but did you have an eye on the people getting off the chairlift while you're having sex?
Yes, but well, we did not, we went Bill Clinton. I did not have intercourse with that woman.
Oh, all right. Okay, so you had a perfect view.
Yeah, she was under the, you'd sit in your chair and you had kind of a window in front of you. Basically, the patrons can only see from, by the way. Right. Anyway.
You should have put your goggles on.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I had a big grin. I was the happiest lift operator during those moments.
You know, you probably got a good Yelp review. Like, I don't know what it is, but the guy on the top of the chair is just so happy.
Smiling. Hey, lift operator question. Nothing to do with sex. If you're up on the mountain, how do you guys get up there?
We ride the chair up.
And then how do you get, you just ride the chair back down, or you take your skis with you?
Either or, for people they trusted, they'd let you ski down. If they didn't trust you as a skier or a snowboarder, then you rode the lift down. What? Or if you didn't ski or snowboard.
Why is that?
It
just seems to me.
A lot of lift operators that didn't ski or snowboard.
That's wild.
I get that you can operate a chair lift without being a skier. It would just seem to me that the people I would choose to hire anyway, could also
in the event of an emergency
or snowboard.
It's like having a lifeguard that can't swim.
Exactly. I mean, I can watch the kid drown.
I can throw out, something to you, but that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems weird to me.
Here, grab this.
That whole story felt like an alternative for a Friday the 13th plot. Remember, the whole plot of the movie was that Jason died out there on the lake because the two counselors were getting it on in the cabin.
Oh,
and he's watching
kids
at the top of the lift, not paying attention. All of a sudden, this kid just falls. Whoop, boom.
You should write the horror movie. They were making love up in the lift shack. I'm not going to say it's because of weed, but lift operators, that's a friendly group of people.
It's because of the weed.
And they're always in a good mood.
You think at higher altitude.
Look, I used to work in a TV station where basically they had a set camera.
Mm-hmm.
You had a button, you had a script, and that camera was, it was you. So it was a one-man operation, all right? So I wonder how many people out there in the television world
have done the same.
Sure.
You mean as they're giving you the news?
That is correct.
I mean, well, the weekend got that stuff because they got to talk.
Yeah, you got to talk. Right, talking's a different ball.
Like, we have a tragic story. Yeah. Oh, out of Washington D.C. today.
Because the place I worked on the weekends, they only had an 11 o'clock newscast.
All right,
so there was staff there during the day, but by the time you got to the broadcast, you were done. I mean, those guys,
right, no one else.
Those guys had left, and it wasn't big enough to do like a 2-shot situation or anything.
Yeah,
it
was yeah.
Just one camera right on you. You had a button. Or like a kind of a little thing that you pressed on the floor, and that would scroll down your script.
Right.
You set up the script. You set up everything else. It was a one-man show. So I know.
It could be done, but I'm a thrill. I just think there's certain moments where it'd be hard to talk.
Not during the broadcast. Like, I always wonder, I'm the weatherman. I'm in front of a green screen. I'd be like, hey, baby, just wear all green.
Just wear this.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, the weather today, man.
Now you see the outline.
Yeah.
What did you get caught doing?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Winger, what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
69 and moist.
I'm just saying.
60 noise degrees. Hello, Johnny. Welcome to the men's room.
Blowing hard from the west. Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys doing today?
It's a positive Friday.
We're positive fantastic. Friday, brother.
We cannot wait for the weekend.
Positive. Fair enough. Fair enough. So my story goes back about 25 years or so. I was working as a barista in a coffee stand or a coffee shop that was inside a big box store, if that makes sense.
Okay,
yeah. Coffee, yeah. And then go do your holiday shopping, whatever. And so what we would do was, after about 6 months of working there, you got to memorize the prices over and over and over again of what everything costs after taxes. And so if somebody would come along and they'd say, I want a 12-ounce latte, you'd say, okay, it'll be $2.82 after tax. And if they start putting their money on the counter, like they're going to count it out to the exact change, the first thing you would say was, would you like a receipt? And they say, oh, no, thanks, I don't need a receipt. You go, okay, no problem, we'll have your coffee up for you at the end of the table. Well, if they put the exact change on the table, that exact change went right exactly into my tip jar.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the usual, I guess I should not promote that, but that is a well-known thing, right? When people pay in cash, if they don't want a receipt, and it's kind of hard to keep inventory. So what do you do as far as inventory of the cups go?
Well, every once in a while there'd be a few that were stepped on or whatever, and you just kind of, it just became the cost of doing business. And it really did, I mean, there wasn't a lot of us doing it, so it really equated to maybe two or three of us getting an extra $3 or $4 an hour.
Well, okay, but when you do that, right, and look, I'm not against it, it is what it is, I don't care, but you have to make sure you're working with the right coworkers, right? So did you ever pull this move and have a coworker that kind of gave you the side eye?
No, but what's funny is the coworker that I learned this about, so after I quit that job and then went off to the military and came back a few years later, I happened to be at that store around holiday time when everybody has to be, you know, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
So I'm shopping around and I see my old manager there. We get to talking and he says, hey, you remember that gal? And it was happened to be the gal that taught me this. I said, yeah, what about her? He goes, man, corporate got a hold of her and she got caught. Well, apparently she'd done this to two or three different stores that she just kind of bounced around when she would get transferred around. And yeah, it was quite a big deal.
How did they bust her because it's on video, or did they just do the math?
I have a feeling somebody either heard about it or told the wrong person that then told the right person or just didn't feel right about it, something.
Yep. Loose lips, man.
I had a buddy was a waitress and I knew her pretty well. And the one thing we got was free fountain sodas.
Sure.
I mean, as many as you want.
Yeah.
We could sit and watch football. We didn't care. I mean, you could still have beers. I mean, you pay for your beers.
Pay for the beer, right?
But when it came to fountain sodas, because the bartender hooked her up with the beers.
Yeah.
But she was in charge of the soda station. So, I mean, like, if you're knocking down 5 or 6 sodas, wasn't a big deal. Never came on the tab. I was like, this is awesome. And it was also not free refills. This was the place that had the big red cups.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you got big-ass sodas, man.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. Yeah.
That place was Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, isn't that the story with like working at movie theaters?
Oh yeah,
oh, just refill the popcorn and all.
Because they only really count the cups. You can't count how much soda goes out.
Nope.
So if you just bring in a cup.
Well, the golden ticket on that one was this. So typically, they in certain instances they would pop popcorn for like it would last for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
So they would bag it up. They would put it back into the popcorn area because the light gives it the heat.
Sure.
All right. Now somebody did not get butter on their popcorn. All right. You looked in the movie theater to find that container because they only counted containers.
Yeah.
Right. So it was the vessel. They didn't really do it as much with the sodas as they did with the popcorn.
Sure.
And if you didn't get butter, they wouldn't look for that because they wanted that because it was unaccounted for now.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time they sold that, it's whatever, $5 straight in your pocket or whatever.
It makes sense, man.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.